It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham.
On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Brian Vestownet. Brian is the Community Philanthropy Manager at Oregon Food Bank. Hey there, Brian. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thank you for having me.
So this time of year, I'm guessing, is a pretty busy time of year at any food pantry and at the Oregon Food Bank. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, across the network, folks are busy because it's always busy this time of year with folks accessing food. But at the food bank, we're particularly busy. I work in the community philanthropy department where we're responsible for raising funds to make sure that our work is funded. And so it's very busy in December because that's when a lot of people are focused on giving.
How is the giving going this year? Are people being generous?
It's going well. We've raised a lot of funds. We have a lot of funds to raise, but we're really appreciative to the community for everybody who's stepping up to support.
How are things going at the Oregon Food Bank? Tell me about some of the stuff that's been going on in 2023.
Yeah, it's an interesting time right now because we're kind of at that point where it seems like, the pandemic really has started to get into the rearview mirror. And so it seems like we really should be seeing, big declines in hunger because there was, of course, a lot of big jumps in hunger around the pandemic. And unfortunately, we haven't seen the declines that we thought we'd see. It's been hunger has remained stubbornly high, hunger and food insecurity. We're anticipating when 2023 is all done, well over a million people accessing emergency food assistance, which is significantly higher than any recent time before the pandemic still. So that's a challenge. We're still seeing that we're kind of in a period where hunger is at the highest rate it's been since going all the way back to the Great Depression. And so it's definitely something that, it's a little frustrating to see that, but we know why. We know that inflation, the rising cost of food, the extremely high costs in housing have really just pushed people to a level that we haven't seen before with meeting all their needs. And it's definitely been a challenge, and continues to be a very busy time for the whole Oregon Food Bank network.
Is food insecurity more pronounced in an urban environment or a rural environment, or is it kind of across the board equal?
I don't have numbers on that across the top of my head, but my understanding is that is very it isn't specific to one area, that we see it across the entire state and region that we serve.
What were some of the biggest wins that the Oregon Food Bank experienced this year?
We'll definitely have seen some wins this year. It's been really exciting, particularly to see the community's response to our investments in trying to make sure that every child has access to meals in school meals for all. Thanks to the advocacy of our community, the state has invested $17 million in improving the well-being of 114,000 students who are facing hunger. So that's, for us, that's huge. And it means that 3 out of 4 Oregon schools will be offering universal free meals starting in the fall of 2024. So we are really excited to see the benefits of that impacting our kids, because we know that significantly is going to influence how kids perform academically, how they're doing in their personal well-being, but also how they're doing in school. And that has lasting effects into adulthood. Proper nutrition makes such a big difference for children in our community.
Talk a little bit about what problems kids face without proper nutrition.
Well, I mean, I think we all know what it's like to be hungry and maybe not have enough food, at times where we've just experienced that personally, and, you know, how it affects concentration, it affects, you know, but of course, it's one thing to just need a snack. It's another thing to have, you know, chronic undernourishment, chronic food insecurity and hunger, and how that affects just even not knowing for sure where your next meal is coming from, but also, if you're not getting proper nutrition, not getting enough food, or not getting breakfast, you know, in the morning or whatever, and you're going to school on that empty stomach, it has significant impacts in how kids are able to stay focused at school, impacts learning. And of course, in the moment, it may just seem like a lack of focus, but long term, that happens again and again for a kid. It compounds and it impacts their ability to really continue to learn and grow and, you know, grow up to be somebody who's like, you know, been successful through their long-term learning environment.
And oftentimes school meals are sometimes the only meals the kids get. Is that correct?
That is true for, unfortunately, many children in our communities. School meals becomes really their main source of food. And so that's why this program is so essential, because those meals aren't available. Some of these kids are not getting nearly the nutrition they need to be able to really thrive in a school environment or just in life in general.
Yeah. We're talking today with Brian Vestownet, Community Philanthropy Manager at Oregon Food Bank. Brian, tell me about your job. What is the Community Philanthropy Manager?
My title is Community Philanthropy Manager for Grassroots Giving. So I work on the fundraising side of Oregon Food Bank, where we are really focused on engaging the community as much as possible in the work of both keeping food flowing right now, but also making sure we're making investments in moving the needle in the movement to end hunger, because that's really what we want to do long-term. We don't want to just put band-aids on the situation. So for me, I'm involved with our mass fundraising program, where we're engaging larger audiences for folks who haven't worked or aren't super familiar with fundraising. Typically, you know, there are a few areas of focus, you know, folks who are, who give like significant large sums of money, you know, have a different focus than with a larger audiences. We'll send like mailings and emails and engage through the internet and social media and whatnot, engage folks in the cause, try to make sure that folks are really understanding why we have hunger in our community. And then when possible, when it makes sense, encouraging folks to donate to support and help move the needle as we try to both keep food flowing and end hunger for good.
You'd like to be one of those organizations that fundraises itself out of business, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. That's something that Susanna Morgan, our president, I've heard her say that often. We want to put ourselves out of business. But that's why, you know, we talk about ending hunger. You know, it seems like this big, you know, far off thing, you know, but we truly believe that it's possible if we make the right investments and we are in it for the long haul, if we're willing to continue to consistently do this work over a long period of time and invest not just in getting food out there, but in changing policy and building community systems and community power so that we can really change the systems that are causing hunger to be so persistent in our communities in the first place.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about measuring a year in love. What is that all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So measuring a year in love. So traditionally, for those of us who worked in the fundraising world, it's interesting to be a fundraising staff member at a nonprofit organization, because traditionally the targets are very simple. We want to raise this much money, and there'll be a set dollar amount that we have to meet. You know, the economy goes through ebbs and flows, and there are big economic factors that influence how much money comes in for a nonprofit organization, right? Some of it is economic, based on how do people have a lot of resources to give or not. Some of it is like public attention, like what's in the news, what are the big issues our world is facing right now, and how does that change where people are focusing their giving? So fundraising is influenced by a lot of things. So it's actually been a challenge in the fundraising industry for organizations to realize that fundraisers can't always just flip a switch and make the revenue come in the way they think it will, right? And at the same time, that sort of that focus on a single like revenue goal can be a little bit displacing, because organizations, it can cause a little bit of mission drift. Organizations who are focused on so much on making sure they meet that fundraising goal, sometimes will find themselves getting pulled a little bit off mission in an effort to try to get grants or get donations from donors who have really strong opinions about how things should be done. So our shift with Measuring Year in Love, we had this new director of our department, C. Nathan Harris, came in, and Nathan had this idea of, what if instead of measuring revenue, we measured love? Sounds like this big foofy idea, but at the end of the day, we are figuring out how to put metrics in place that actually help us center relationships, center communities who face hunger or who have lived experience facing hunger, centering these communities as our leaders in identifying how we should do this work, because they're the closest to it, right? They have actually experienced what isn't working and what needs to be done. So we want community leadership rather than centering leadership of people who have a ton of money, right? Or of organizations that have a ton of money. And we want to make sure that we are valuing relationships above revenue. We want to make sure that we're building a movement above just making sure that the money is coming in, right? Because those are the things, this is the way we have to stay focused if we're actually going to move beyond just the Band-Aid of food distribution and actually changing systems and ending hunger. So there's a lot of work to be done on that front. But if we are relationship-centric, and if we are community-centric and we're focused on the leadership of our communities facing hunger, and we're trying to like build long-term relationships where every person, including the donors that are donating to the organization, where we're valuing everyone in the community, and not just looking at people through this lens of how much money can you give. We believe that in turn is also going to raise a lot of money. And so that's why we're not getting rid of fundraising goals, but we are focused on relationships and community leadership first and foremost. That's how we're measuring our success.
How does the Oregon Food Bank, how do you guys fundraise throughout the year? I know this time of year, you're probably taking plenty of donations, or that's kind of the goal right now. But how do you do it throughout the rest of the year?
We are fundraising all year long. So we are consistently engaging the community and engaging donors and engaging folks that might become donors to Oregon Food Bank. We are engaging them both with opportunities to make donations, but also in the work itself. Like we are working with our donors to help build greater understanding of the root causes of hunger, because we have this vast wealth of knowledge from our community, from people who face hunger or who have faced hunger and have that lived experience. We have this wealth of knowledge of why hunger happens in our communities. We know it's systemic. We know it's influenced by public policy. It's influenced by how wealth is distributed in our communities. It's influenced by factors like systemic racism and discrimination and bias against folks, you know, against people of color, indigenous populations, those in our community who are Black or who are trans or gender nonconforming. All of these communities face hunger at significantly higher rates than the rest of the community. So we know that those things are factors as well. So all of those things put together, it's very complicated, right? Solving hunger is not just like a easy flip of the switch. But just because it's complicated doesn't mean it's not possible. So we're working with everyone we're engaging, including our donors, our volunteers, to try to help grow together in that understanding of what is causing hunger in our communities and how we solve it. So that happens all year long. Of course, end of year is a bit busier, because that's when a lot of people really are focused on getting those donations in. For some folks, there are holiday traditions that involve giving. For some folks, you know, they just want to make sure that they get those donations done before the PAX deadline, and they haven't gotten it done yet. So it all kind of compounds at the end of the year. So this time of year, we're very busy, but fundraising is something that happens all year.
It's really nice to hear such optimism coming out of you, a representative of the Oregon Food Bank. That's nice to hear that you feel this hunger problem is solvable.
Well, thank you. Absolutely.
From an outside perspective, it's like, how in the world are we ever going to solve this?
Yeah, I mean, and it's a challenge, but we know, you know, that when we're engaging our whole communities and when we're centering the lived experience of folks who've experienced hunger, we can really get answers. And with those answers, we can make changes that will move us closer. And it's not, like I said, it's not something we can flip a switch and make it happen overnight. But for those of us who are in this for the long haul, we know we can get it done.
Yeah.
It's going to take time, but we will get there.
Cool. Awesome. We're talking today with Brian Vestownette, Community Philanthropy Manager at Oregon Food Bank. Brian, could you kind of remind our audience how the Oregon Food Bank works? This is a whole network.
Yeah, absolutely. So Oregon Food Bank, it's a large network. It covers the state of Oregon and also Southwest Washington. So yeah, we have 21 regional food banks in the network, and then 1,400 food assistance sites. And so these regional food banks are focused on sourcing food, bringing food in, you know, where they work with farms, they work with grocery stores, they work with various institutions across our communities to make sure that every opportunity is made to get food in, especially when it's fresh and nutritious and produce and such like that. You know, getting all of those food resources together and making sure we source that food, have a place to put it, and then out from there it goes distributing through those 1,400 food assistance sites. And that's why we have folks across our state who are able to access emergency food when they need it, usually in a place that's reasonably close to where they live.
Food banks have changed over the years. It wasn't all that long ago when you needed food assistance, you got a box of whatever. Maybe it wasn't culturally appropriate for you, or it wasn't food that you wanted to eat. But now it's a totally different experience, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of a big mix at this point, because a while back, Oregon Food Bank had a initiative to have food assistance sites in our network, many of which are not Oregon Food Bank specific organizations, but they are under the Oregon Food Bank umbrella. So they're their own organizations. But there was a big initiative to get many of these sites to convert to these grocery style pantries, where rather than, you know, having a prepackaged box that somebody just receives, and all the boxes are basically the same, right? It's more like going through this little mini grocery store, and there are shelves, and folks can select the food that they need. So they get to make choices and choose food that makes the most sense for their communities. And at this point, it's a big mix, because during the pandemic, many of these food assistance sites had to go back to the box model just to get food out to folks who were in a safe way, where they weren't all in a crowded room together, you know, worrying about pandemic, the transmission of COVID-19 and whatnot. A lot of pantries switched to doing like drive-through pantries and such. And so right now, it's kind of a big mix. Some pantries have been able to resume their grocery style experiences, and others not so much. But even then, I think even with box distribution, there is an increased focus on like figuring out how we can have some options, some choices, because, you know, we live in a multicultural world, and different people have different traditions. They have different experiences, different kinds of foods that they are comfortable with, that are familiar to their families, that they feel like they can just take home and make quickly. You know, and folks have busy lives and complicated lives. And especially for folks facing hunger, it can be very busy, chaotic, complicated life to try to navigate multiple jobs, you know, other family challenges and whatnot. And so that culturally specific food is really, really helpful for families to be able to get something that they're familiar with, that they're comfortable with, they can make at home easily. So maybe it's not as ideal as it has been at times in terms of the shopping style pantries, but there are a lot of those out there, and that culturally specific food is something that's really important that we've invested a lot in. We have at Oregon Food Bank, we've had this community grower support initiative where we've invested significant funds in communities that face disproportionately high rates of hunger, particularly Black, Indigenous, and all people of color communities, as well as immigrant and refugee communities, and also trans and gender diverse communities. Those are the communities that often face disproportionately high rates of hunger. But for especially some immigrant and refugee communities, and even just different subcultures we have here in the in our country and in our state, you know, we live, America is a very diverse place. So having those culturally specific foods available, and also through this community grower program, actually investing in programs where small farms are able to grow these foods, particularly Black, Indigenous, people of color, and immigrant refugee led farms. These are communities that traditionally have been have faced significant barriers to farming, to being able to even have access to land to farm if they wanted to farm. And so making those investments has really, first of all, it's helping these communities get closer to being on the same playing field with the rest of the country in terms of having access to land, access to farming. But secondly, it's diversifying the food that's available and making sure that communities have access to this culturally specific food, because there's more of it out there now.
How do people get access? If somebody's in need, how do they get access to food?
So one of the best ways, we've tried to make it as easy as possible to find local food resources. So we have launched, a few years ago, we launched a website, OregonFoodFinder.org. OregonFoodFinder.org. It's available in 14 languages, and it's really a comprehensive resource where you can search and find any food distribution site in the Oregon Food Bank network. So that covers the whole state in Southwest Washington. Folks can go to OregonFoodFinder.org and put in their address and find a list of food assistance sites near them. And it has phone numbers, contact info, and stuff too if folks need to call and have questions or whatever. But it, yeah, like I said, it's available in 14 languages. So it's a really, really great resource for anyone needing food assistance.
That's great. We've got a couple of minutes left.
Go ahead. And I just, you know, would want to like also speak to all of the organizations that partner with us as part of our network, be they regional food banks who are helping distribute the food out through these food assistance sites, or be they organizations that run food assistance site themselves. There's this whole community of people, volunteers and staff and whatnot out there doing this work and making sure food is available to folks who need it.
That's great. Yeah, I'm sure people can find out about volunteering information on the Oregon Food Bank website, right?
Yeah, if you go to OregonFoodBank.org, we have an option that says get involved in volunteering, advocating, becoming part of our community who receives action alerts, opportunities to like send messages to our legislatures to invest in systems change and public policy and whatnot. There are all different ways that folks can get involved and be part of this movement and help move that needle closer to ending hunger the way we so desperately want to do.
Yeah. We've got about a couple minutes left, and I wanted to spend a little time having you tell us how we can help out besides volunteering. What are ways that our listeners can help out the Oregon Food Bank?
Yeah, so absolutely. So volunteering is one. Signing up for action alerts. If you go to our website and select the advocate option under the Get Involved tab, you can sign up for action alerts, and you can get emails when there are opportunities to send messages to our legislators. So our legislators represent us, right? Whether that be at the national level or in the state house, these folks are all making decisions that influence whether we're getting closer or farther away from that goal of ending hunger. So these action alerts, it's an opportunity for folks to be aware of when something is out there, like the Farm Bill, which we'll be talking about, the Oregon Food Bank will be talking about a lot next year, opportunities to invest in SNAP benefits. So that was one thing we saw too after the pandemic, was that SNAP benefits, there were temporary SNAP benefits in place during the pandemic. Those dropped off. And so that combined with inflation, combined with all these other factors, really hit families hard. And so this Farm Bill is going to give us an opportunity to fix some of that. But that's an example of an opportunity to have an influence. And to influence our leaders so that they're going to make decisions that are in the best interest of everyone and help us move that needle towards ending hunger. So advocating, getting those action alerts and taking action when those come through, volunteering, donating. Donating is a really, really valuable way. Some folks don't realize this, but significantly more food can be distributed with the revenue raised from a donation than that could be raised if you went to a grocery store and bought that food yourself, because food banks are able to source food at much cheaper prices. So donating makes a huge impact. And it also helps us, again, invest in these systems change initiatives, because that takes staffing, that takes leadership as well. So OregonFoodBank.org/donate, if you want to make that something that is like sustained long term, that is a huge step in helping us not just give out food, but also change those systems over time to end hunger. You can go to OregonFoodBank.org/donate, and you can choose the monthly option to become a monthly sustainer. And that's a significant way to help, too. But even just that year-end donation as well, that one-time gift, makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Brian, thank you so much for catching us up on everything happening at the Oregon Food Bank. You guys are busy.
We are. But, you know, it's good to be doing this work. It's good to have hope for this, like, future of an Oregon without hunger.
Excellent. We've been talking today with Brian Vestaunette, Community Philanthropy Manager at the Oregon Food Bank. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.